I have a thought that I'd like to share, and good Lord willing, he'll help me get it out. So I wrote the phrase, power of the cross. Because this week, Easter week, I don't know if you've looked around as you've been at work or different places around, you've probably seen the cross or a symbol of it displayed. On Ash Wednesday, if you worked with Catholic co-workers, many of them probably came back or sometime during the day came around with a little cross mark on their forehead in ashes. You've probably heard people talk about the cross and its impact on them. And I wanted us to consider, what do we mean by the power of the cross? What is it that the cross has power? So I'd like to start by going to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now I'd also like to go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then continuing on over into Mark. Mark chapter 8. And verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Going on over to Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And then moving on into Luke, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then the last verse I want to read for right now is in Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 and verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And the reason why I wanted to read these verses after writing the phrase power of the cross, what does the cross that Jesus seems to be talking about here? Because every one of these verses was Jesus' words. So Jesus repeatedly asked us to take up our cross, something that seems to be specific to each of us. He didn't say we need to take up his cross. He didn't say I needed to carry Brother Michael's cross. He said I needed to pick up my cross. And in fact, the last one said, if I don't pick up my cross, I can't follow him. So, do these crosses that we're talking about here have a power? The cross that you would bear, does it have a power? I would say it does, but not in the way we normally think of on Easter. So I want to flip that phrase on its head and talk about what Christ did to the power of the cross. What kind of power did the Roman cross have on Christ? It killed him, didn't it? It was part of the instrument of his physical demise. Did the story stop there? So with his death on that cross, was that the end of it? The cross's power continued after that? Or did that cross stop having power? Not just the cross, but the thing that cross represented. What about death? Where was its power? What about the grave? What about everything that we as a human, if we look at a cross, we fear? that power of the cross, if you think about it, did Jesus fear, if you will, the power of the cross? What do you think he was praying about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if there's a way, can you turn this cup away from me? I'd rather not drink of it. But what was the Father's will? That was his cross. He had to bear it. And at the end today, how much power would we say the cross of Christ has? I'm going to say the wooden structure that we often think of has no power. None. It didn't keep Christ in a grave. It didn't keep him dead. It hurt him temporarily, but now he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Don't we all want to get there? So I would ask us, these verses where Christ said, take up our cross and follow him. Are we afraid of the power of our crosses? Do we see them as things that will kill us? Kill our dreams, our hopes, our desires? Things that will permanently prevent us from attaining things we might want? That will be the grave of everything we desire? Is that the cross that's standing before you with whatever God may have? What power is that cross that's in front of you? What does your cross have for you? And on Easter, let's stop and think about it. What is the real power of that cross? Does it mean that your cross will be easy to bear? No. Christ's cross was not easy to bear. He had to have help at one point. But at the end, he was victorious. Eternally victorious over that. It wasn't because he was given a judicial reprieve to where he had another 2 years to live, another 6 months, or, well, we'll pardon you from the death crime, but now you still have to look forward to dying naturally. He is forever free from the effect of that cross. And I would challenge us, as we look at the world, and especially as we look at Easter and we look at what's before us in our lives, what is the power of our cross? Are we looking at it from the view of, wow, that's going to be tough? And I'm not saying that we can't look at it that way. Jesus looked at his cross that way. We have record of that in the garden. He honestly looked at his cross and said, Lord, this is going to be hard. And I'm not sure I'm ready for it. It is okay to look at your cross and say, Lord, this one looks bigger than me. But today we have something that through the blood of Christ, we can also look at. What's the other side of our cross going to be? How many of y'all have ever had the Lord ask you to give something up where he didn't make it better on the other side? Why did it say Christ took on the cross? For the glory that was set before him, right? I would challenge all of us, when we start looking at our lives and we start considering the power of the cross that's before us, consider what Christ can do. Will you come out the other side potentially scarred? You know, I've considered some of what we hear after the resurrection. We like to think of heaven as a perfect place. No injuries, no wounds, the lame will be walking again. But you know something? It said Christ had scars. He had scars. Places where the nails had gone in. Places where he had been poked by the spear. And I've considered that. It almost sounds out of place in heaven. But what happened when Thomas saw those? Did he see horrible stuff? Thomas the doubter, sometimes he's almost brought up with a little bit of derision, almost sound like. But when he saw the scars that cross had left, and he realized that Christ had died and come back to life for him. My Lord and my King. The love it stirred in his heart. You know, you may go through something for the Lord. You may face something and you may say, Lord, this is going to leave me marked and disfigured. Nobody's going to want to be around me. Would you walk away from our Savior because of His scars? I would just about guarantee you that if you're willing to accept what the Lord has for you individually, you will find that, yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, you're going to come out the other side with scars. Sometimes there's no other way to describe it. It's a scar. But what does a scar mean? What beauty will it signify to those around you that look at you and say, wow, that brother or sister went through that. You can see the scars of where they went through that. But look at the beautiful life. Look at what came out the other side. And why did they come out the other side? Not because of the power of the cross, but because of the power that was on the cross. Christ, when He got on that cross, He got on it not with an expectation of I might die. He got on the cross with the expectation He wasn't going to die. That was a certainty. But He also got on it with another certain expectation, which we don't stop to think about. I'm also going to live again. This cross is not the end. He said God had given Him power to lay down His life. He was doing that by getting on the cross. He was choosing to, this is the way it's set up. I will go to the cross. I will die. And then I'm going to pick it up again because my Father has given me that capability. Do you think God is going to give you a cross that will only kill you? That you have no way of making it through? What would be the benefit of that cross? If I went out into the mission field and got martyred, what benefit would that be to anybody in this room? How encouraging would it be for me to have died in the work of the Lord to you all? I'll be honest with you, it might not be that encouraging to some folks. They might actually say, you know, I admire it and I appreciate it, but that doesn't encourage me to go into the mission field. I'm not feeling like I want to go there, Lord. Why? Because I didn't come out the other side like Christ did. There have been many men killed on a cross. The Romans used it quite frequently. So what is the power of the cross? The power of the cross is nothing if you have Christ on your side. The sinner. We had two sinners hung with Jesus on the cross. Two other men on the cross. What was the power of the cross for those two men? They both died. The cross didn't help either one of those men live. However, one man had something else that happened to him that day. Because he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because he had recognized his guilt, had recognized he was where he deserved to be, that the death he was going through, the cross he was bearing was his. That was his. And he's looking at Jesus and saying, but you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't have to die alongside me. You're blameless. And so he wouldn't raise his voice against the Savior. Instead, he appealed to him. And we have record the Lord told him, today you will be with me in paradise. What a glorious other side of his cross. While he didn't come back to physical life on planet Earth, which of the two sinners on the cross would you like to have been that day? The one that had railed on Christ or the one that asked for forgiveness? Why did he get the forgiveness? It wasn't because of the power of the cross, but it was because of the power hanging on the cross that he was talking to, Christ himself. I would like to encourage us all. Today is Easter. We're closing down, coming to the end of the day. We're going to go into a new week. We're going to walk out of these doors, and it's going to be a new week. For most of the world, Easter will be forgotten very shortly. The folks that have leftover Easter candy, they'll probably remember it a little longer than others, because they'll look at it and, oh yeah, I can eat some more of the Easter candy. But even so, in a week or so, even that will be gone. And then what happens to our lives? We continue on. And that cross we all have to bear, guess what? It's still out there. You still have it somewhere down your path. Whether you're at the point in your journey with God where it's time to pick it up and really feel the burden of it, or whether you're still in the part of your journey as Christ was early in His ministry where you know it's coming, but you're not there yet where you're carrying the weight of it. It's out there. I would beg all of us, as we consider moving on through this week and on through the rest of this year, consider the power of the cross, of what it doesn't have over you because of the power we have through Christ being on the cross. Y'all pray for me.